C1B3.
Number 6A.
Didn't quite finish the fourth side of the city, maybe the last 8 points on science. And so I just quickly summarized, only quickly, because afterwards I want to summarize it a bit more in detail. We just saw that the fourth side is side of science, which would show that we would have to have a scientific being, namely a being that is not just a fact in being, but that it is an understood fact in being. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy shows first science as the word, so to say, how we can approach that scientific being, namely through the mind of God, being in accord with God. Then she would show that science as Christ would tell us that if we understand God by approaching God through a scientific understanding, that would bring man of God as God's man to light. That would be the Christ man and would show that we find really our true stature and brings harmony to our lives. The science as Christianity, she showed that would mean that we would have to prove through demonstration that actually the ideal man, namely his coexistence with God, would have to be seen and demonstrated. We had there the question of Adam as a dam that has to be overcome, that sin is actually nothing else but to the belief, instead of the understanding, the belief that man is separate from God, whereas man is one with God. And so finally we came to science as science, and there she shows that the understanding of the allness and oneness of God. See, always you have the oneness when you come to science. That an understanding of the allness and oneness of God would actually demonstrate more than just the true idea of man coming to light, would demonstrate the unreality of evil and the reality of good, so that there would be no more any question what is good and what is evil. We have seen that at the beginning of the platform, she just showed that evil is obsolete, but here now we have to understand and to show through demonstration what we understand, and to show through demonstration that evil is unreal and good is the real. She shows that through two paragraphs or points. Point 31, from the standpoint of divine science, where we said, or where I have the epitome, only through science can the unreality of evil be fully understood and demonstrated. And where we saw that she indicates that the unreality of evil is not something that we just can reason out, but that it must be demonstrated in life, and only if we demonstrate it in life, we can really understand the unreality of evil and therefore the reality of good. And so we come to the last point, 32, where this fact has to be shown on the level of absolute Christian science. The level of absolute Christian science, we know, has to do with the relationship of truth to the specific ideas of truth, the relationship between heaven and earth, between God and man. And here we find the climax of the platform. I epitomize it like this, understanding that all men have one mind. See again the oneness that comes out. Here the oneness of understanding through one mind demonstrates God's kingdom in earth as it is in heaven. See, it's no more in heaven. It's not just heaven bestowed, but it's now showing that it is heaven bestowing. We always had that as absolute Christian science, and through those paragraphs, she shows that heaven bestowing sense when all men have one mind, when there is just the mind of science, divine mind. How does she explain that or expound it? She contrasts those two points of science, namely material theories on the one side and the science of mind on the other side, and shows that the material theories, that they must yield to the spiritual ideas. And then only then, when material theories yield to the one mind, that then God's kingdom can come in earth as it is in heaven. Only then can we have the expression and demonstration of heaven on earth. So that she demands that we have a new basis instead of the basis of mind small m, instead of the base of mind small m, which establishes all kinds of theories and doctrines, material theories, that in the place of that mind small m, we would have the one mind, capital M, God. God is the only mind. See, she shows there is no other mind but that mind which is God. And that that mind must be understood, not merely believed. See, again we have a sense that belief and human theories and human mind concept must yield and give place to the one mind. So science must divest sin of any supposed mind, small m. Can you hear? It's all a question of mind, small m, and mind, capital M. To replace mind, small m, as a way of understanding reality and replace it, you say, by or with the divine mind, with the divine mind. So that science must divest sin of any supposed mind, that we should lose our faith in the various theories and their imaginary power, and therefore make life its own proof of harmony and God. Again, you can see to make life its own proof of harmony. It is not a question of theorizing about Christian science to give the proof of harmony. One must make life the proof. Demonstration really must show how much we have understood of being. So she demands to keep the first commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me. And with that she means that man shall have no other spirit or mind, small m, but God. Can you see, it's constantly reiterating the same thing, mind, small m, versus capital mind, capital M. And therefore says that all men shall have one mind, capital M. So that understanding where we see that if all men, M-E-N, that's the human context of man, so that when all men have but one mind, instead of each man having his own mind, has one mind, therefore if we accept in science that there is only one principle of mind, namely the divine mind, then the first commandment will really be heaven bestowing. There it is that she then says that one infinite God good, you know that well-known statement, that one infinite God good, and then you can see how this is heaven bestowing, not heaven bestowed, unifies men and nations, constitutes the brotherhood of men, ends wars, fulfills the scripture, love thy enemy as thyself, annihilates pagan and Christian idolatry, whatever is wrong in social, civil, criminal, political, and religious code, equalizes the sexes, and as a seventh point, she says, annuls the curse on men, and leaves nothing. Now here you get really the plane of the level of absolute Christian science, and leaves nothing that can sin, suffer, be punished, or destroyed. It brings man to that point where he can no more sin, where he can no more get sick, where he can no more be destroyed, where he can no more be punished, because he acts lawfully. So that here we have a terrific sense of a fulfilled concept of what is the outcome of understanding the one mind. That the one mind really brings the kingdom, God's kingdom, in earth as it is in heaven. And that's how she finishes, really, the platform. So if one considers or compares, really, the beginning of the platform with the end, you can really see a terrific change. We have said at the beginning of the platform, she would never say that man should understand God, and that an understanding is necessary. She just showed what being is. You know, she started out, you remember that God is infinite, the only life, and that God cannot be seen through the material senses, and that therefore that the individuality of the infinite is unknown, and thus she says, a knowledge of it is left either to human conjectures or to the revelations of divine science. That was point one. So she stated right from the beginning, well, from a human standpoint, we will never be able to understand anything about the divine being. So it must be left either to human conjectures, which is no good, or to the revelation of divine science. So she starts out and reveals that divine science, reveals the world in divine science, Christ in divine science, reveals Christianity in divine science. These are the 24 points. And only when she has given that whole revelation, she comes to the fourth side of the city, to understanding, and says, now, that what is in reality, that you can understand, and if you understand it, you are it, you experience it. Only when you understand it, when you are at one with that structure of being, then you really go along with that being, and you live that being, and you are that being, and that being demonstrates itself in you, and then that science is made practical. So the foresight, gives us really that method, so to say, which says, now, how do you attain in your conscience the same mind as the mind that is God? And therefore shows first, and I now recapitulate again the last 8 points. She says, look here, the very first thing you have to do in science as the word is that you approach that being through what? Through harmonizing with that divine principle, being in accord with that principle, with being in conformity with that principle, so to say, in synchronizing yourself with that principle, by linking up with that principle, by hitching your wagon to the stars of that principle, so that you go along with that principle, are in conformity with that principle. And in proportion as you do that, she says, in that proportion you will feel your perfection. That science, as the Christ then says, and in the measure as you understand that, that begins to demonstrate itself. The Christ begins to demonstrate itself and brings forth the same result as what you have in your consciousness. It leads you into eternal harmony. It brings to light the only true God and man. You see, it's still the activity, the process, the Christ dynamics that says, and that consciousness of the signs as the word has a Christ, it brings, will bring to light the true man and its harmony. And when she comes to science as Christianity, she will have to show that fundamentally man was always coexistent with God, and that he has never left God, and that it is just a matter of overcoming that belief, that Adam belief, that belief in a dam between God and man, in that belief that man has ever been separate from God. So that finally, science of science, she says, therefore, if you understand now the one mind, and if you all men have but that one mind, and obey but that first commandment, that you shall have no other mind, no other spirit, but that mind which is God, then that mind will bring heaven to earth. It has then that effect that men, that one infinite God, good, will, as I read it, unify men and nations, etc., 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 which is heaven on earth. Yes? So, as we put a lot of accent in Christian Science on understanding instead of belief and faith and religious sentiment, and see that everything is a question of understanding, it's quite interesting to see the balanced sense of these 32 statements, because they teach us one thing, that understanding God does not really start out with understanding, that it is actually only the fourth side of the holy city, that first must be stated what is before you begin to try to understand that is. So over 24 points, she first states what is. The word is, the only life is. Then she shows that the Christ idea is, that there is a Christ idea, that there is a Christianity of infinitely diversified and individualized ideas of reality, that is before even man was thinking. That was, and is, and ever shall be. So that only the foresight said that if you ponder those four, that is your understanding. The more you acquaint yourself, the more you harmonize with those 24 points, the more you begin to understand, and the more you begin to understand the same structure of where Christ and Christianity is then established in your understanding, and so the structure of being and the structure of your understanding becomes one, coexist, co-eternal, so that there is no more any difference between the mind of God and the mind of man, therefore no more any difference between the being of God and your beingness. You are then God in expression. Yes, this is what I feel to be quite a terrific picture of a teaching of divine science. And you could see that she really brings in very little on the level of Christian science. Let me summarize the whole platform in various ways. You know that text interpretation is a very, very important point in Christian science. We know that we should have a real approach to how to interpret the text so that we don't interpret the text just the way we feel about the text, in an inspirational way, in a humanly subjective way, that we feel this sense tells me a lot and that sense tells me a lot, and with this sentence I have made a nice demonstration, and with that sentence I had a nice experience. That is not really text interpretation, this is inspirational thinking. If we come to scientific text interpretation, we must let the text interpret itself to us, and not we interpreting the text. There's a great difference. How can we naturally see how the text interprets itself? We can do that by looking into the structure of the text, the categories that the text uses in order to state a subject. And here in this platform, we see something very interesting. I have already pointed it out at the beginning quickly, but here I want to stress it specifically. Namely, that if we read that whole platform from beginning to end and listen to what is really a main tone that flows right through the whole platform, before we break it up in Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, we find that she uses certain tones more than any others. The very first tone that goes right through it is the term infinite, that she would use always infinite, God is infinite, the infinitude, the infinite mind, the infinite spirit, the infinite principle, the infinite love, the infinite expression. You see, everything is infinite, giving us a great sense that she presents here the unrestricted, infinite being. And that being has the overall tone of life. The overall tone of the platform is not truth, because truth is hardly mentioned. It's not love. Love is hardly mentioned. The overall tone is really life. And you see, in scientific text interpretation, we have the very fact that text interpretation is not only that where we interpret the text, but we also interpret why she doesn't use certain subject in a text. The rule or the that is laid down in text interpretation, or one of the rules, is that the absence of certain words partly creates and certainly winnows and refines the meaning of those that are present, so that the absence of those important terms like truth and love in defining the signs of being really shows that life is even more important, that life is therefore the tone that goes through it. And actually, the life tone is superabundant here, either as a synonymous term or through ideas expressing life. It is not only that she calls God the only life and the divine life and the creator and the self-exist, but the great sense of life as the infinite individuality goes right through it. That term individuality, individualized, etc., recurs about 10 times in those few pages. It is the individuality of the divine ego, the individuality of spirit. God is individual, spirit is individualized. It reflects divine individuality, the individuality of spiritual man. Man cannot lose his individuality. Mortals do lose sight of their spiritual individuality. You can hear the tone of the infinite life, infinitely individualized, is really the main tone of what? The science of being. It's not the science of truth, not the science of love. It's the science of being that is presented here. Therefore, those terms like eternal appear about 30 times in the various expressions, like eternal, without beginning and end, was, is, and ever will be, continues, forever, continuously, and so on. Can you hear again the tone of life? It's the deathless life, the undying life. It is a life forever that again goes right through. So really we feel that the overall tone that recurs is actually life. You see, one always knows, you see, that if you have the seven synonymous terms, that actually the first three terms, mind, spirit, soul, are just showing the nature of God. Whereas life, truth, and love really show you the essence of God, the true essence of what God is all about. So one can take life, truth, and love and see where is the accent. Here the accent in this platform is typically on life. Truth is only mentioned once and love only four times, whereas life is mentioned, as I showed you, not only as a synonymous term nine times, but also through those many, many times of the ideas of individuality, eternity, and so on.